Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back, and we're going to have a little bit of a message first here from, from Mr. Congressman Comer about Merrick Garland. Again, folks, he's Merrick, you know, he's sat there, and he's lying. He knows he's lying. We all know he's lying, but he keeps doing it. It's like there's no conscience with these people. Go ahead and take it away.
Attorney General Merrick Garland now is responding to allegations he has weaponized the Justice Department against conservatives. He's also standing his ground against demands to turn over audio recordings of President Biden's now infamous interview with special counsel Robert Hur. Garland faces a possible contempt of Congress charge and was the focus of an intense hearing today up on Capitol Hill. That's where senior congressional correspondent Chad Pergram is tonight.
Attorney General Merrick Garland, mum in the hallway.
Are you going to kind of punch back against what they're trying to do in contempt?
But Garland defiant in the hearing room.
I will not be intimidated.
Republicans contend Garland weaponized the Justice Department against former President Trump.
Many Americans believe there's now a double standard in our justice system. They believe that because there is.
Former President Trump asserted that Garland authorized the FBI to use deadly force during its raid on Mar-a-Lago. But Garland dismisses that characterization.
The document that's being discussed is our standard use of force protocol and was part of the package for the search of President Biden's home as well.
He described GOP accusations of bias as a right-wing conspiracy theory.
An attack on the rule of law tears down people's confidence in the basic fundamental element of our democracy.
Garland said he never personally listened to the audio tape from the interview special counsel Robert Hur conducted with the president, saying the department only altered the transcript to eliminate repetitive or filler words. But Republicans say that's precisely why they want to hear the tapes.
The transcript may be accurate, but you know what? The audio would tell us so much more. Whether it reveals things about his capacity or his veracity or anything else.
Democrats contend the DOJ just doesn't target Republicans, citing prosecutions of Democratic New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez and Texas Democrat Henry Cuellar.
The full House has not voted to hold Garland in contempt. It may never do so. The House lacks the votes. Jillian?
All right, John.
The problem, I think, what we have there, too, is because, you know, we have rhinos in the House, the rhinos that would vote with the Democrats on that. And of course, you know, this is why we have to get a real attorney general. We got to get Trump back into office. He's got to appoint a real attorney general, someone that's
when was this hearing?
Today.
It was today?
Yeah, well, yeah, they had another one a couple of weeks ago.
Did they counter his comment there about claiming the abuses against the law and the undermining the rule of law with just the facts of what he's been doing?
Yeah, but he just denies it. There is no difference in the way we react to
Republicans. So is it more theater?
Than Democrats. In other words, so when it's brought up that they have, what about going to the January 6ers? What about going to the homes of the pro-lifers in the middle of the night, kicking in the doors? They just, the fellow that came out and talked about this, the doctor that just exposed this transgender, what these operations are doing to these kids. And this guy came out and he said, look, first of all, this thing about these children committing suicides if they don't get their operation, that's bull. He said it's not true. It's just a flat out lie.
Most of them commit suicide after they've been messed with.
Yeah. And so anyhow, so their hospital that he was working in was told not to commit any of those more transgender crimes on the children, the surgery.
Good for that doctor.
But they were doing it undercover. You know, even though they were ordered not to do it, they were still doing it. So he exposed that. And what happens? He gets two FBI agents knocking on his door, and he's charged with all kinds of crimes.
Is this the guy from Texas? The doctor from Texas?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's charged with all kinds of crimes for doing what he's supposed to do. I mean, and so...
Did any of our congressmen bring that up?
It'll it'll be there. It'll come up. Hey, Merrick, again, Merrick Garland, he's the one that sends these FBI agents out.
That's my point.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, you got an article. Go ahead with it.
This is the Gateway Pundit. Leaked documents reveal Joe Biden's executive order on asylum seekers is a total scam. Joe Biden's new executive order for asylum seekers is a total scam. According to the New York Post, Biden's new border crackdown will still allow at least 1.8 million illegals to enter the U.S. every year. Leaked internal documents reveal thousands of illegals are exempt from Joe Biden's executive order.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Just hold on to that, because go ahead and take it away.
We are now 72 hours removed since President Biden enacted executive orders at the southern border. He signed it earlier in the week. The new policy, though, is looking a lot like the old one, with migrants from around the world still pouring through by the day. Bill Malugin is back in Southern California to watch it all, as you have all week, Bill. Good morning. Hello.
Bill, good morning to you. It is business as usual out here. Mass illegal crossings, mass catch and release, and badly outnumbered Border Patrol agents. Take a look at this video. We shot this late yesterday afternoon out here in Hacumba. This is what Border Patrol has to deal with out here. You have one single agent on hand who has to try to corral this group of 150 people from all around the world who have just crossed illegally. This group had been waiting for over 5 hours for Border Patrol to pick them up. They were getting impatient. You got people from Egypt, from Mauritania, from Turkey, from China, Vietnam. There's no translator out there for these agents, but they've got to deal with this day in, day out. They just don't have the manpower to process all these people and patrol the border at the same time. And we spoke with several of these migrants. Take a listen.
From Egypt.
From Egypt?
Yes.
All from Egypt?
Yeah, group. From Egypt.
Egypt.
Good America.
Egypt.
America good.
Good America?
Yes.
Good.
Go.
Yeah?
Good.
Yeah? Good. Why'd you come to America?
Business and the group.
You want to work? Job?
Work, yeah.
Job.
This friend.
Yes.
Group of friends, you guys want a job?
Yes. America, good.
America, good.
Yes.
Okay.
Good. America, good.
I'm from Turkey.
Vietnam.
Vietnam. All from China?
Yeah.
Why'd you come to America?
For free.
To be free?
Yes.
And then take a look at this. Fox News on scene once again as Border Patrol mass released hundreds of illegal immigrants to city streets in San Diego. This at a local trolley station, releasing them from all around the world, China, Middle East, India, you name them. They were released there. And these folks are now free to travel the country. They often have a notice to appear with a court date years into the future. They can use that notice to appear to get on airplanes. Once they are released from DHS custody, they are free to travel the country. And this is the sort of thing that plays out every day down there in San Diego. Hundreds released to the street every single day. And back out here live, we often hear DHS say that migrants who cross illegally are placed into quote-unquote removal proceedings. Well, I think the average viewer at home hears that and thinks, oh, they're being removed, they're being deported. Sometimes, yes. Well, what you just saw on video there with the mass releases, that is also removal proceedings. An NTA with the court date years out into advance, that is also technically considered removal proceedings. So something that I think viewers at home should just keep in mind when they hear that phrase. Yeah. We'll send it back to you.
If it weren't for reporters like you, Bill, a lot of this, we would never even know about it. Thank you. Southern California, Bill Malugin, back at his post.
Thanks.
Jillian.
Thank you, Bill. More on this now with Jim Desmond, San Diego County Supervisor. Jim, let's start here. Take a look at some of the overall numbers. This is since January 2021 when President Biden assumed office. You can see there more than 8 million encounters total along the border. Total border apprehensions of illegals, 6.9 million total border entry encounters, nearly 1.1 million. Sounds like from Bill's reporting there, not a lot has changed since Monday when this order went into effect. Tuesday.
No, absolutely not. I mean, the numbers have gone up, if anything. I think people from around the world are now more apprehensive. They thought there was going to be a big lockdown. And so more of them are flocking to our southern border. In San Diego, unfortunately, we've become the number one hotspot along the border here recently. Primarily because of California, we roll out the red carpet for migrants to come across illegally into our county and into our state. We give free insurance, free medical, And it's just, you know, been chaos for California. Our drop-off numbers just in the last couple of days were about 800 per day. So little has changed here in the San Diego sector of the border.
One feature of Biden's executive order that critics across the board point to is the lack of specific enforcement mechanisms, meaning it's not like once this EO goes into effect, as we are seeing some, you know, miraculous border wall rises from the ground once they hit 2,500 illegal encounters a day and thousands of Border Patrol agents, you know, emerge from the bushes to apprehend people. Take a look at this. This is from the New York Post. They obtained a government memo. It says that single adult family units who are very hard to remove, such as countries which do not permit charter repatriation flights, may be considered for processing of expedited removal or placed into Section 240 removal proceedings. There's a whole process, Jim, once folks are apprehended. It's not as if they are apprehended and then moved back across the border 5 seconds later.
Well, no, and there's too many loopholes in this. It's really, you know, the executive orders, the words came out, but the execution hasn't happened, or there's very little execution. They just simply don't have enough Border Patrol agents to actually be removing these people. And there's the vetting, to me, is the biggest problem, is the Border Patrol does not have enough time to properly vet these people. As we saw, 150 migrants per Border Patrol agent there just in California. And the vetting is, you have to figure out who's good and who's bad and who may mean us harm. And I think that's a big safety concern, not only for San Diego County, but also for the entire country, that their overwhelming numbers coming across are not being properly vetted. We don't have the databases from all of these countries to know who they are and what their intentions are here in California or the rest of the country. We still have boats coming across that are just beaching themselves on our beaches. And we have dozens of people getting off, avoiding Border Patrol by this process, and then just walking into our streets and going wherever it is they want. There's still the chaos and the execution of this executive order. There's been no meat on the bone for that, and we've just seen the same things happening, and I think we're going to continue to see this many people still coming across. Yeah.
Correct me real quick if I'm wrong on this. It sounds like in order for the enforcement mechanism to work, we have to have a pre-existing agreement with other countries for repatriation to take place, right? We only got a couple seconds left.
Well, we do. And those are called, and we have things in place. We have embassies and throughout the world for people to apply to apply for visas or apply to, you know, come into our country. But why would you do that if you can pay somebody $5,000 or $10,000 and you get to come across our border illegally and go to the head of the line above everybody else trying to do it legally? We have to stop that process and go back to a legal one that works.
All right, Jim Desmond joining us this morning. Thanks so much.
Alrighty, we are back. Do you want to add anything to that, Aaron?
Sure. Well, it's the same reporter. According to a DHS, Department of Homeland Security official, he told the Post of the Biden administration's new restriction, it's all blank. So it's a bunch of nonsense as far as any doing anything to effectively stop this. The migrants who can't be deported are not included in that 2,500 number. The language was ambiguous for a reason. More than 1,300 illegal aliens flooded over the U.S. border into San Diego, California in one day following Biden's executive order on asylum seekers. And he just goes on and on about all different stats. So it's a farce.
It's the same story that Pastor Ernie and I have been telling for more years than I care to discuss.
Yeah.
Well, the blatant...
They do a lot of talking, they use words, but there's no action behind the words. Unless it's something that's illegal, immoral, and then they put everything into making it reality. Everything else is illusion. They are masters of illusion.
They're professional. Some of them are professional liars.
Well, they are, but the point of it is they insult the intelligence of the American people, and the American people are fed up. They've had enough.
They're finally catching on. For years,
yeah.
They just, the news, there wasn't enough people telling the truth to wake people up. And finally now people got hurt financially, food, rent, and all this. Biden's telling them everything's fine, the economy's good. All of a sudden, they realize they're being lied to, and they start looking around. And when they looked around, they started realizing there was other news sources telling them different things. And that's how we've gotten this far. But it's taken many, many, many years, right, Pastor?
Well, you know, yeah, there's another interesting thing about that is people have been asking, what is with this? All of a sudden, Biden, one day, our Biden can barely walk. He's stuttering. He don't know where he's at. The next day, he's very clear, and he's walking a little faster. And now there's been quite a bit of chatter there about him having a look-alike, a double. Now, they brought this out a couple times with another guy who's supposed to be. They said I've identified the fellow as an actor, and he plays Biden. Now, I don't know if that's the case or not, but others are saying, like on Fox News, they were thinking that he's using drugs like some of these athletes use when they really need to get going in the morning, you know, or when, you know, after they've been out all night drinking and they got to get with it, that they're using these drugs on Biden. But I'm not sure.
My guess is going more for drugs and just in dementia. My mother-in-law had Alzheimer's, and occasionally she would have, she progressed. She would have times of great clarity, would just seem practically normal, and then the next day she might not remember who her daughter was. So as you progress in something like that, he's got a good day. They put him out there, and like you said, there are different medications. I'm going for the medications because, remember, all of a sudden he disappears for a day or two.
Yeah.
They're not able to do anything, so they put him out when he can function, and they put him away when he's not able to.
Hmm. All righty, here.
Well, you watch the news when he's available. They said sometimes he doesn't start till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They have time to, you know, and then he can't read a teleprompter. I mean, there are too many variables going on, which fits a pattern of dementia.
Okay. Well, in a case like this, I go after Biden, but in areas where something like that, where you can't help it, I don't, and Trump's the same way. He doesn't really like, I mean, he goes after Biden for the fact of what he is. But here, you know, when it comes to things that he can't help, his senility. He that's not something he can control. And I don't think people should make fun of him for that. But he's wicked. I mean, he isn't. He's a wicked man. He's an evil, very, very evil man.
Look who he's put around him. He's got all of Barack Obama's staff, people guiding him, directing him. And so, if you surround yourself with evil advisors, what are you going to get? You're going to get evil.
Well, he didn't surround himself with it. Obama did.
Well, they did, yeah. But yeah, he had to go along with it because clear back, he's wanted power and authority, and he sold his soul to the devil to get it.
Obama and Jill are the ones. I saw pictures of her. She's considered herself to be a hot wife, giving Obama a kiss, and it wasn't. It was a heavy-duty kiss on the lips.
That was somebody else she kissed, too, come to think of it. He wasn't the only one. I remember something else, somebody else she was, attorney or some power broker. So,
I think it was the French president.
Maybe that one.
Yeah, but she's done that. She's known to do that. That's what she's supposed to be, a hot wife. But she's kind of old for being a hot wife, I think. But anyhow, here, disgusting. Joe Biden steals Ronald Reagan's speech in Normandy Beach on D-Day. I watched that, and that did not go good for Biden. He was not Ronald Reagan.
No. Delivery couldn't match the words. And, yeah, in fact, speaking of that, I've got one story I've got to tell. Google on the day everybody else was talking about Normandy, the heroes.
Yeah, they were talking about
Google
lesbians.
Did? They celebrated a lesbian author.
Yeah.
Jeanine Cordova, and they had a cartoon image of this author and activist on the main page of their search engine, leftist search engine, and the same one that hides all the conservative websites and results. And it was interesting because I was reading an article about it, and they talked about, she died in 2016 at the age of 67 in Los Angeles, far from the German machine gun fire. And they would throw in little bits like that. But here, Google, so many people count on Google, and here, a day like the 80th anniversary of the Normandy invasion, all the men that died and risked their life, and what do? They celebrate a dead lesbian. People, we got to quit using Google. We got to start using, there's other things out there, DuckDuckGo, there's other search engines that are far better and not against us. They just provide a service. They don't do anything good or bad. They just provide a service. So Google's got to go, folks.
All right, very good. New national poll finds 62% of Americans, including Democrats, support national program to deport all illegal aliens.
I noticed that word all, right?
Yeah. Now, earlier today, CBS polling expert Anthony Salvain, this is for today, broke the news to Margaret Brennan on the Face the Nation. 62% of Americans want all illegal aliens rounded up and deported. We tested that in a general way in principle. Would you support a new government program that would deport all people living in the U.S. illegally? And that finds majority favor. They find 6 in 10, the strongest amount of folks who are MAGA, of course, the strongest among Trump supporters, but also some Democrats as well. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. And so, they noticed they were so shocked. Oh, I've got one to just fall right in. There was a BBC anchor talking to one of the IDF spokesperson, Jonathan Cornricus, and the stupid anchor asked if Israeli forces would have warned the Gazans ahead of the secret raid to liberate these hostages so that the civilians could seek safety. And sitting there thinking, a warning for those civilians. Well, it turns out that the civilians were the people who were holding the Israelis hostage. It was the people, the citizens that were, hundreds of them there within the compound, doing the guarding, doing the care. And so when the raid happened, if you have civilians holding people hostage, are they really civilians?
Well, no, not if they're taking part in the war. But here's
exactly
the thing, is like,
these people were not, they may have been civilians, but they were conscripted. They came in to help work with Hamas. They're guarding these poor people. They're the ones that are helping rape them, beat them. All these other things have been going on. And this idiot female for a liberal press, BBC, well, why didn't you warn the citizens so they could get out of there? And, of course, the Israeli turned around and said, well, because then the terrorists, all they would do is kill the hostages, and that would kind of defeat the purpose of the raid, wouldn't it? That's got to be the dumbest question I've heard in a long time somebody ask.
All right.
Unless you can come up with a dumber one. That's the dumbest one this week, this month.
Going back to what I was telling you about the Homeland Security, the 62%, listen to this. Homeland Security says that President Biden has already deported or repatriated more people in the past year than any since the year 2010. That is complete, total, unbelievable. And then, depending on the details of what's talked about on the campaign trail, some of what Mr. Trump talks about called could be illegal. It doesn't seem practical in some sense to round up children. And then we know that the courts have questioned whether local authorities would have the ability to do it, and federal authorities don't have the resources. So what exactly do people think we are supporting? Unbelievable. When you measure the public's... Now, here's what Anthony Salvanto says. When you measure the public sentiment on this, or really just about any policy, you're getting a sense of direction. You're getting broad brushstrokes. But those kinds of details, well, that's often up to the legislators and the courts later on. We tested even the idea of, should local law enforcement be involved in this? And a lot of you folks say, yes, absolutely, yes. Again, the details, that specifics you're going to pick up. So here, you got a very, very aggravated public out there. They're getting very frustrated. And here...
with people lying.
Yeah. They've been lying. That's what the left does. Go ahead.
So this is another Gateway Pundit article. U.S. government PSYOP needs to be zeroed out and restarted under constitutional principles. Special Operation Forces Week in Tampa is the premier gathering event for all things related to special operations. On May 9th, 2024, at the most recent event in Tampa, there was a session on operations in the Information Environment Symposium. This title is simply another name for psychological operations, which is short for PSYOP. Having been to the PSYOP course at Fort Bragg, now Fort Liberty, in 1984, this panel caught my attention. The name, functional areas, doctrine, and tactics have evolved a bit since PSYOP was first introduced in the 1950s to fight Soviet communism. That was on a post-World War II rampage to topple the Western system. The Doolittle Report, the founding strategy and document for the CIA roles and missions, emphasized the need for methodologies and capabilities to tell the American story and defeat the aggressive Soviet propaganda efforts. PSYOP was key to the early CIA and the nascent American military special operations community. It was quite effective in those early and heady days of a battle for survival against communism. At the 2024 symposium, the speakers bemoaned the poor state of American PSYOP. The discussion emphasized the vague term disinformation, seemed more concerned with Russia than China, and blamed right-wing threats for the Biden administration having to cancel the Department of Homeland Security's attempt to establish a disinformation board. The themes and issues raised by the speakers answered their own questions and concerns. Disinformation is now a deep state code word for U.S. citizens exercising First Amendment rights. The disinformation board was being led by a self-confessed Mary Poppins of disinformation, Nina Jankowicz, who immediately after being fired disappeared to the international hotspot of deep state disinformation experts, London. So having spent years in Army PSYOP units, I've struggled to understand this radical transformation of what was once considered a noble and high art form to counter the cancerous communist propaganda effort, as opposed to what many think. The essence of PSYOP was very simple: tell the truth. That's the way it was in the early days of the CIA and the U.S. military. Things changed over the years, but it was the 2012 Smith-Mundt update that inserted a radical change that has led to these dark current times. I was in government during the debate and drafting of the Smith-Mundt update. Although I have been trained for years that U.S. government information should not be pointed toward the American people, the language seemed innocuous. Why not share this information with the American people? They already paid for it, so why hide it from them? And, well, one indicator was the double reverse, triple fake-out projection tactics by deep state scions such as Foreign Policy, the mouthpiece for one of the centers of globalism, the Council of Foreign Relations. The headline in Foreign Policy was U.S. repeals propaganda ban, spreads government-made news to Americans in response to the Smith-Mundt update. So is this what Obama had something to do with as far as enabling propaganda, the Smith-Mundt update?
Yeah.
So it started in 2012, and that's like that article you just read about the numbers. They can just blatantly lie, and there's no...
They do it all the time.
So then,
well, I mean, look. They just came out and told us about how we got a great jobs report. It was a really good... More people now are working. But what they didn't tell you is out of the was it 6,000 new jobs? Out of 6,000 new jobs, 200 of them were federal employment, okay? And then half of those were from people who weren't citizens, were not even citizens, so they were employees. Then one other thing they forgot to tell you is the majority of those new jobs, these brand new jobs of this report, are not full-time jobs. They're only part-time jobs. So, again,
a ton of these illegals are getting jobs.
Yep. Yeah.
And then another threat is they're going to be able to vote just by, I think all they got to do is just think they're allowed to vote.
Yeah, that's illegal means. Yeah, again, when it comes to election fraud.
Catherine Engelbrecht talked about that. If they literally just think they're allowed to vote, then there's a loophole in the current law that'll allow them to vote.
Yeah. Democrat Atlanta prosecutor jailed for stealing $15 million of COVID funds to buy Rolls Royce and 10-carat diamond ring. Here, a previous report on a federal jury in the Northern District of Georgia. Boy, they got Big Fanny there. Georgia's really got, and these are all Soros bought and paid for, prostitutes. A previous report, a federal jury in Northern District of Georgia has convicted a Georgia attorney from City of Atlanta, police officer, fraudulently obtaining approximately $15 million in loans under the Paycheck Protection Program. The former Atlanta prosecutor used the COVID money to fund a lavish lifestyle, which included the purchase of a Rolls Royce and a 10-carat diamond ring for $148,000, as well as significant money transfer to her relatives and accomplices. Shalitha Robertson, 62, of Atlanta, was found guilty of multiple counts of fraud, including conspiracy to commit wire fraud itself, and money laundering in December. Again, this is another one of the Soros girls.
Right. Well, you remember we did a story, something like 38 to 40% of all the emergency COVID funds were stolen or misplaced, they tried to say. But so basically, you've got all that money, almost 40% of it, was wasted on fraud, and that's what they know of. That was the big stuff.
Sounds like more of the controlled demolition of our country.
Yeah, and how much more of it was only little fraud here or there. I bet there's another 10% was smaller fraud.
Well, now let's, when we take a look at what's happening here, it looks like the Lord is intervening on this, the case against Trump and the others in Canada, or Atlanta, that's gone now because Big Fanny, from what I hear, has been disbarred. And then...
actually hear that? I thought she was being sued.
Well, she is being sued, but now they're saying she's been disbarred. It's been out there.
Oh, wow, that must be fairly new news. I missed that. That's great.
And then here... you've got what's happening there in New York with Marchand's court, where apparently they said that a juror, one of the jurors, leaked to a relative, a cousin or something, but a day before the jury come in that Trump is going to be found guilty. And so
mistrial.
Yeah. Now, in a mistrial, you got two options. You either throw the whole thing out, or you can try to start and retry them, okay? What do you think, Marchand, because it keeps going bad for him, the more they do that, the worse it gets for him.
It would tie Trump up again, which is all he was trying to do, is make Trump look bad, tie Trump in, keep him off the campaign trail.
Yeah, but now it's coming back because now Congress is going to they're going to bring him in and him and his daughter finding out she raised $100 million
for the Democrat Party.
Yeah, what they did, that's a violation of federal laws, which he did. And so they're going to bring her in then into Congress for questioning. And so I think
it would be wonderful then if he would not retry, because then it's that one's gone.
Now, at the same time in Florida, the judge there is saying, look, I'm not sure that Jack Smith is legally able to be a special prosecutor here, because Congress
and there were two or three people who have brought that up, and actually I think they filed an amicus, friend of the court brief. If that comes up, if the court takes it up, you know.
Then Merrick Garland was the one that appointed him, and then that was a violation of office there, too.
Right. He didn't have the authority to appoint somebody who wasn't approved, and he wasn't even on staff. He was at the time not on staff, which I don't think is legal either.
That means they'd have to throw the entire thing out.
Mm-hmm. The whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
Well, Lord willing, that'll happen.
Caboodle, but, you know.
Well, let's hope that happens.
Yeah.
Trump, you know, when he was there speaking in Las Vegas, boy, he came. I mean, he's not pulling any punches. He's letting them know what they did to him, and that I've been listening to him. President Trump held a massive rally in Las Vegas on Sunday. This is Trump's first rally since the conviction. Alan Bragg's lawfare show trial. Fresh off the successful fundraising tour in Southern California. I hear now he's raised is over $300 million now. Trump arrived in Las Vegas Saturday evening. Supporters lined up for hours in the heat to see Trump. By the way, they talked to a bunch of those people, and they were former Democrats. And a number of them that worked said, the ones that worked for tips, they worked for tips, and they all said that they were going to vote for Trump now, because Trump says that you will not have to pay taxes on your tips. Everybody works on tips in Nevada, there in Las Vegas especially. And so President Trump offered hope to the American people, saying the things are going to turn around fast once he gets back into office. The election was a rigged election. Yes, you bet it was. Oh, let's indict him for saying that. Whereas you got guys like this, you got guys that kill people, and they're fine. They're just fine, Trump said. We're screwed up as a country, and we're going to unscrew it very quickly, Trump said. President Trump also offered service workers a lifeline of wanting to stop taxing tips. And when I get to office, we are going to change taxes on the tips, people tipping. Well, the best thing he can do on that, because actually that's something Congress has to do. But he can.
Bring it up, and yeah.
I got a feeling. Now, first of all, we have to expect election fraud like we've never seen. The Democrats right now, they know that they're in trouble, okay? And big time. If Trump gets back into office, like Hillary said, if he gets back into office, we're all going to hang. We're all going to hang. That's what she was saying to her gang.
Yep.
So they know that right now. And so you can bet they're gearing up. And you can bet Merrick Garland knows. And Christopher Wray knows. And I would be... really, really, really surprised if they did not use the FBI, if they did not use the CIA to try to throw the election.
Well, they might, but here's the good news against that. Trump in Silicon Valley, I'm not familiar with these people, but David Sachs and Chamath, and I can't Palipathapata, are two of the big shots are in Silicon Valley. And they are not happy with Biden. They are backing Trump. They are donating large amounts of money. They had a big fundraiser for him. It was extremely successful. They talked about they invited so many people. The place was overflowing. Every seat was full. Silicon Valley people there, they said they gave reasons like, Biden's economy sucks. Foreign policy is terrible. The border lawfare against Trump, they said that was one of the things that turned everything around. If they can do it to Trump, they could come after these guys if they want. And if you've got some of the biggest people in Silicon Valley going for Trump, you've got not only money, but people who understand technology and power. And I think there's enough tide being turned if it keeps going that direction. I think they're not going to be able to do as much cheating as they thought with all these. You get enough people like these big tech people. They understand that world far better than the rest of the Republican Party, and they can sure help point out the problems.
Well, there's going to be more and more people watching because, how much there has been election fraud in the past, and the people, what we had, this is, why we have all of those people still in prison, because you had a million people were fed up.
Yeah.
They went to D.C., and they saw what happened, and they were tired of the election fraud. Their votes were stolen from them.
And these people, these tech people are putting up millions. They raised millions and more millions. They're working on it. And they're not going to put that kind of money into something to see people try and cheat them out of their money.
Well, these people like you and I, they sat and they watched those numbers flip on election night. When Trump was way out ahead of, and all of a sudden, boom, and a lot of people went to bed. They went to bed thinking they're going to wake up in the morning hearing how Trump won, and they were just devastated when they find out they didn't see the flip. We saw the flip.
But, yeah, you could see it.
Yep.
Democrats are in trouble.
Obvious.
Well, they're
going, there's a lot to answer for.
Yeah, there is, but you got to remember these people. Their very nature. You're going to see people.
Well, God can stop it.
Yeah, yeah.
Your sermon gave me hope, Pastor, yesterday.
Well,
when you talked about Genesis chapter 18, and Abraham asked the Lord, "If there's 10 righteous, will you not destroy the city?" And we're guaranteed to have at least 10 righteous. Here in
before
Northeast Ohio, let alone the country.
For a country, you have to have a lot more. But you don't remember.
True. But it's hopeful.
Yeah,
it gave me hope.
We have, what we have to do is be obedient to the Lord. As Solomon said, the long and short of the whole matter is simply keep God's laws, keep his commandments. And, and that's what we have to do. We got to, we have to do. He's given us three main missions. We've said it over and over and over. The first and the foremost is the Great Commission, and that's what we're going to be getting into here in just a couple of minutes here. The second is from Genesis to Revelation. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Bible makes that very, very clear. And then third, to stand fast, hold your ground, hold to the traditions of the apostles, and not give up any ground. And that's what we have to do. So.
Amen to that.
There you go. And that's what that's what it's all about. You have a. And now here's the other thing that's happening across the country. More and more people are getting prepared. The sheriff's departments, they're hearing from their people. Their people are demanding the sheriff's departments to. We want protection, And now even in the big cities, they're saying there is no way in the world Chicago is anywhere near prepared to handle the Democratic Communist Party convention there. People are, a lot of the residents in Chicago are, they're fuming at the Communist Party. They're fuming at the Democrats there. And, what happens, so you can bet that they're going to do something there. This summer, too, you could probably have Antifa out there. What if you have, now Hamas, they've been pretty angry at Biden, too. You saw them picketing the White House out there. They were all out there. They're pushing hard. Look for a lot of a lot of rioting and that from those on the left. But I'm noticing that the people are pushing the sheriff's department to be prepared. Okay.
Yeah. Remember that old years ago there was a song, "Look for the union label when you are buying your blah blah blah."
Hey, Mabel, look for the union label.
Now, a lot of these unions are going for Trump. A lot of the, maybe not the heads, but the working members of the unions, a lot of the big unions, are more people are coming out for Trump. So there's going to be a lot of change. People are not going to, there's a lot happening. It's a movement. It really is. Trump started a movement. Just Make America Great Again is catching on. It's a movement, and we need to get out there and just get everybody joining the battle, and we can overcome all the crooks.
See, the people in Europe, they're seeing that, and they're saying, look, America is going to go back to the way she was, and we need to do that. We need to follow. We need to, because they've had the very same things, you know, where they've had all of these illegal immigrants that have come in. They're taking their country over. And they have taken over. And even in liberal Germany, when you see what is taking place there. So, yeah, there's a big movement in Europe now going back to conservative.
Talking about that headline, Europe's young voters flock to the right. They're seeing they want a future. They want to be able to buy a home. They want to be able to, you know, save some money, and they're realizing government's taking away their right. They're giving them things, but they're taking away their freedom, their rights, and they're starting to see, you know.
How much time do I have there? How much time do I have?
Okay.
All righty. It's that time again that we need to get to every night. The most important part of the program is what we were talking about, and that is, folks, you know, we were telling you about how we really need to hear from you because we're in danger of maybe losing some more stations. But something that's far, far more important than anything else in your life, okay? One of these days, everything that we're talking about tonight will not be remembered. It'll be forgotten. As I sit here in the studio and I look around, none of this will be here. This is all going to be gone someday, okay? And the time will come, and this will happen. There's no chance at all. There is absolutely no chance at all that this won't happen. You're going to die. And when you die, the Bible says that
it's appointed man wants to die, and then comes the judgment.
Exactly. Now, when that happens, people are not, we're eternal beings. We don't go out of existence. We always exist, but we exist in, well, we change real estate, and we'll exist in these bodies. These bodies will die and rot away. And so the bottom line is you're going to end up in one or two places. Just like there's only two genders, male and female, folks, just like marriage is only between a man and a woman, there's only two places when you die that you end up, either heaven or hell. And that's just reality. And who says this? God says this. And if God says it, then you better go along with it. And so here's your options. The Lord Jesus had made a very, he did for you out there right now, all of you, everyone that's listening to me, he did for you what you could never, ever, ever do for yourself. He paid the price for sin. God is a holy God. God is a just God. And a holy God cannot tolerate sin. And so there had to be a sinless sacrifice. That was what was demanded. And the only one that could fill that bill was the Lord Jesus himself. No, what I'm telling you is historical reality. What I'm telling you is a story given to us right from the most authoritative source of information that ever existed. God's word is the most powerful thing and the most authoritative. In fact, as God himself has said, heaven and earth will pass, but my words will never pass away. And so all of what I've just told you, you have God's word on. And so you say, well, and I've asked people several times, if you died right now, here and now, where would you spend eternity? And I've had people say, I'd probably go to hell, huh? You know, and that song that we play, the one about the preacher on a cold winter's evening, on a sidewalk in the city. Well, that's a true story. And I asked that woman, if you died right here, you're planning on going into this abortion mill. And not only babies die in there, sometimes the mothers die too. And I said, what would happen to you if you died there? And she said, I'd probably go to hell, wouldn't I? I said, yeah, you'd go to hell. And she was crying. She said, I don't want to go to hell. What do I do? And I told her, I said, well, you got to repent and you got to pray and ask God for forgiveness of sin. And I said, just repeat after me. And she did. And I didn't tell her to get on her knees, but she did. And that's no. And she received Christ as her Savior that night. And her baby, who they told would be born without a brain, you know, it was born perfectly healthy. And so here, again, God is truth. Here's what you do. Jesus said, pray to the Father, and you ask him, first of all, acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner, and a sinner needs a Savior. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. And then you ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. And if you do that, okay, now remember, that means that you have to put him first. In other words, obedience to God has to come first. Obedience has to be first in your life. If you've done that, then you will become a new creature. You will become a born-again believer. You will become an heir of the kingdom. That's right, an heir. So what's included in a kingdom? All creation, the entire universe out there, folks. And you're going to be an heir of that if you're smart enough to listen to what God tells you to do. And if that happens, then you will receive eternal life. You'll be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And just think about that. You'll never go out of existence. You'll always be living in glory. You've got God's word on all of that. And folks, there's nothing as sure as the word of God. So I wouldn't wait till tomorrow. You might run out of tomorrows tonight. A whole lot of people are going to run out of tomorrows tonight all over this world. You don't want to be one of them. So here's what we always say at this time. We say, for all you folks, thanks for being here with us tonight. God bless. And
good night.
Good night. And always, and I do mean always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.